time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Well, here's an example of some not-so-modern medicine. In the 19th century, people were simply too busy churning butter or waxing their mustaches to be bothered with disobedient children. Along came soothing syrups, also lozenges and powders, all of which were carefully formulated to ensure they were safe for use by those most vulnerable members of the family. Oh no, wait, actually, they pumped each bottle full of as many narcotics as it could hold. For instance, each ounce of Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup contained 65 milligrams of pure morphine. In 1910, the New York Times reported that this was a bad idea and ran an article pointing out that these soothing syrups contained morphine sulfate, chloroform, morphine hydrochloride, codeine, heroin, powdered opium, even cannabis indica, and sometimes several of them in combination. Well, you can't say these syrups weren't effective, as long as you didn't mind having your toddler being strung out like a drug addict. Yikes, talk about a chemical cocktail. Well, we don't offer soothing syrups, but we do invite you to our soothing and sometimes stimulating information. And we welcome you once again to the healthiest 2 hours on radio. I am the Snowman, David Snow. I'm not a doctor, but I am a board-certified toxicologist, guaranteed not to be to leave you bored with the information we have for you this morning. And, you know, just once, I'd like to read a medication label that says, warning, may cause permanent weight loss, remove wrinkles, and about increasing energy. Yeah, that would be a nice label to read on a label. But speaking of label reading, we're going to have a former FDA investigator talking about how to read labels and what is not on the labels that may be in the product that you're eating. Unsafe at Any Meal, a new book by Dr. Renee Joy Defoe. She's also formerly with the Institutes of Health, as well as the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and she's a former investigator for the FDA. And she found out about heavy metals and how they're somewhat ubiquitous in our food supply, even if they might not be on the ingredient label or the panel that you're reading that you are so conscientiously trying to avoid those toxins in your diet. And we'll talk about how genes affect your health, as well as pesticides and other compounds that people might be exposed to environmentally, and food labeling practices, and how to create a safe environment at home for you and your family. So Dr. Renee Joy Defoe joining us in just a few radio minutes after some features and news. All right, let's go to Highway Health Patrol. We always remind you to carry the 5 F's in your vehicle at all times, especially during the summer months when people are going to be driving more. They are flares, flashlight with fresh batteries, of course, fire extinguisher, a first aid kit, and a fix-a-flat, as well as a fifth, or basically a liter, of water. Always want to have water in your car. And speaking of cars, the hidden dangers in your car, you know, you might have the latest safety features in your newer car, the airbags and seat belts and anti-lock brakes and everything. But what's in the back seat, on the floor, or in your cargo area of your SUV? Are there, you know, bags or books or coolers or water bottles? Well, those can be projectiles in the event of an accident. And let me just read a couple examples of this. This is not new research, but it bears repeating. And that is, these are serious dangers, and they routinely cause injury and death. Inanimate objects, you know, it's not just the stationary objects that pose a threat. It's unrestrained riders, especially people in the back seat that are not buckled up. That becomes a deadly force. In fact, one study, this is some time ago, 74,000 two-car collisions, they studied that. Researchers determined that the cause of death, or risk of death, for belted front seat occupants rose 400% when someone in the back was not wearing a seat belt. So something to keep in mind. And, you know, with the rising popularity of SUVs that lack the standard cargo trunks that are completely separate in the case of a sedan, that's part of the problem because, you know, you can be hit with all kinds of things that you keep in back there on a routine basis. So and getting back to the backseat passenger, they say that a front seat passenger becomes basically a crude airbag for the person in the back, unfortunately. So that's not good news, but something to be aware of. Okay, let's see. We got so much information. Okay, let's go to matters of sexual health. All right, seafood lovers, they have more sex than people that don't eat seafood. Couples who eat seafood more than twice a week have more sex and conceive quicker, according to a study of 1,000 people. Study tracked the dietary habits of 500 couples who were trying for a baby, and they found that couples who ate a lot of seafood reported having more sex more often, and but it did not fully explain the shorter time for pregnancy. They're saying that seafood may boost fertility in some other way. This is from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Say both partners should be incorporating more seafood into their diet for maximum fertility benefits. All right, let's see elsewhere. Let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. All right, we got 2 minutes left. Let's see. You know, I don't condone alcohol, but I must admit these quips are pretty humorous. It's not my fault I have a double chin. When God was giving out chins, I thought he said gin. So I said, I'll have a double. Okay. What about this one? I told myself I should stop drinking, but I'm not about to listen to a drunk that talks to themselves. And then my favorite, not to brag or anything, but I don't need alcohol to make really bad decisions. Yeah, I'm perfectly capable of making terrible decisions sober, right? All right. We got one more minute or so. Okay. Let's see. Okay, since we're going to be talking about... we already talked about that last week. Anyway, how about this? An airbag combination necktie. For years, you've enjoyed the protection of an airbag in your car. Well, now you can have the same protection wherever you go with these airbag bras and neckties that promptly inflate if you stub your toe or if your vertical orientation changes at a free fall rate. All right. So much for that. And then one more... AM/FM hearing aid. A yawn turns it on. Let's see. You've heard it 1,000 times before, but there's not enough quality time in your life to listen to it again. Well, that's when conversations get excruciatingly dull. A single yawn flips your... Let's see. What does it do? It flips your hearing aid to your favorite preset AM or FM radio station, hopefully ours, and they'll still think you're paying attention to their serious old tales while you're grooving to your, well, talk radio or listening to the news.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
Thank you. Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
It's a medical breakthrough, a doctor's prescription to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't go to the pharmacy, you go to the supermarket for fruits, vegetables, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods. Side effects may include increased energy, healthy weight loss, and lower cholesterol. For a free recipe booklet, call 866-906-WELL or visit cancerproject.org. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
Welcome back to the program here on Dr. Health Radio. ER stands for Educational Radio, where we specialize in preventive medicine to keep you out of the ER and other places that you don't want to be. And here to help us do that is my guest, the author of Unsafe at Any Meal, Dr. Renee Joy Dufault. And what the FDA, the subtitle is What the FDA Does Not Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat. She's a former FDA investigator herself. While working there, she discovered some toxic residues, mercury in particular, in the plumbing systems of food manufacturing plants, as well as processed foods sold in supermarkets. And when she revealed these, this information, the findings to her superiors, well, put it this way, she retired early, and we're privileged to have her on the line right now talking about some of the things and foods that we don't want to be there and what they can do to our health. And we'd like to welcome Dr. Renee Joy Dufault. Good morning, Doctor. How the health are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, David. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show and to help educate the public about these issues in our food supply.
Now, I know that you were inspired by Rachel Carlson, the author of Silent Spring, back in the 1960s. She wrote the book Silent Spring, which really was the harbinger of all the alerts that we've been having on the toxic effects of pesticides and poisons in our food and, you know, preservatives and things that shouldn't be there. Was that the main impetus of why you wrote the book, or was it also your dealings with FDA?
Well, I felt the consumer needed a handy reference book so they could find out what was in different food ingredients and what they needed to eat in terms of whole foods to stay healthy mm-hmm. and to prevent the disease. And I didn't think there was I had insider knowledge because I worked at FDA for 9 years, and I really understood food manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see a book on the market where this information was provided to the consumer. So that's why I wrote the book, and I felt that consumers have a right to know so they can make informed decisions.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, hats off to you. I mean, I was talking to you earlier before we went on the air, and every page I turned in your book, just random pages, it was just eye-opening information. Even somebody like me that's been in the food industry and in the health establishment for, you know, 40 years or so, these were this is really a revelation of a book, and I thank you for writing it for the Joe Q public, if you will, and it's laid out and written in such a way that it's easy for the layman to understand some of the consequences that that are to be that we face when we consume some of the processed foods that we do. Now let's first talk about toxic metals, because that was the that was really the key or the impetus of why you wrote the book and had issues with FDA and ended up leaving. But you alerted them to mercury. It was mercury, which is a neurotoxin, as we know. And you discovered those foods, not only in the foods, but in the manufacturing of the foods, the plants and the processing facilities that that these foods were packaged and created in. Tell us, give us a brief history of that and how exactly you found, were they just chemical tests that you ran on various foods and then you started seeing patterns, or how did this develop?
Well, I wasn't really, it was an accident. You know, a lot of findings in science are accidental, and that's true in this case. What I was asked to do for a U.S. geological USGS conference was to do a presentation on the mercury cycle. And the reason why I was asked to do that was because I had been doing decommissioning work for EPA and also FDA for many years, and I kept finding mercury in the plumbing systems of all the research labs that I was decommissioning. And of course, I had contractors to help me and so forth. It wasn't like me going out there doing it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But we were trying to find out where all this mercury was coming from. And as we did our research, we found that it was coming as a residue from certain chemicals that the researchers were using in the laboratories, common chemicals like hydrogen chloride, sodium hydroxide. And so when these chemicals went down the drain, which is what they did do before we had hazardous waste regulations, then you would end up with mercury residues that would kind of get caught in mud and dirt and everything, and they'd be in the plumbing system. And so there were hospitals in Boston that had a lot of mercury coming out of their wastewater pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were unable to meet the discharge requirements for wastewater as far as mercury residues go. And so Harvard had sponsored a study to determine what were the mercury levels in all these various chemicals that hospitals were using. So it was related to what we were doing. And it turns out that there were mercury residues in a lot of the cleaning compounds and some of the other chemicals that hospitals use. So when the hospitals, they created a database, this nonprofit associated with Harvard called MASCO, that included all the chemicals that were tested and which ones had mercury residues. And when hospitals stopped using specific chemicals with these mercury residues, then the amount of mercury in their wastewater went way down and they were able to meet their discharge requirements. So when I started looking at, well, which one of these chemicals are used in food manufacturing, I was surprised to learn that the hydrogen chloride and the sodium hydroxide and the chlorine were used extensively in food manufacturing. And one of the highest users of or largest users of caustic soda, sodium hydroxide, was the corn refiners to make corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, so from there, I asked the question, well, could high fructose corn syrup have mercury in it? And then we started doing our informal testing. I worked with the Armed Forces Radiobiology Research Institute, and they helped me, and we did some informal testing on products containing high fructose corn syrup, and we compared mercury levels in those to the products that were organic, and there wasn't any in the organic that we tested. And then we also, I sent out an FDA field investigator to collect high fructose corn syrup samples directly from the corn refiners in different states.
Mm-hmm.
So we also had those samples. So anyway, one thing led to another, and then it was clear that, you know, when you use the mercury-grade chloralkali products, which is what I'm talking about, those chemicals that are made using mercury, mercury cells, then you're going to have residue. And there are four mercury cell chloralkali plants left in North America, and many more in the world. And they're still these chemicals are still being used in food processing. So there's been a number of studies done now, including not just what we did, but then after we did our studies and published our findings, Canadian researchers did studies. And they found mercury residues at similar levels and even 100 times the levels found by others. So the problem is there. It has been there. And it's definitely under the radar. But when we have these exposures on a daily basis in various food ingredients, then, you know, if we don't have a proper diet of the fruits and the vegetables and the healthy whole foods that we need to be able to metabolize and excrete these heavy metals, we end up accumulating them in our body, and it impacts the way our genes behave. And I talk about all of this in the book. Mm-hmm. And so specific genes are impacted in specific ways, and then we end up with the Western diseases like diabetes or heart disease or autism, and it goes from there, Alzheimer's.
Right, right. And with since we're talking about two toxins that are naturally in our food supply, mercury and then chlorine, as you're mentioning, an indirect or an unintended consequence, if you will. And I know that there are other ones, other toxins we want to address a little later in the program. But let's talk about, since you mentioned mercury as the first toxin that you investigated, or that's what was kind of the inspiration for the book, how does the mercury in foods such as fish, naturally occurring methyl mercury, how does that compare to the toxicity of inorganic mercury, such as, I'm assuming that this is inorganic mercury, that what is found in the food supply or the food manufacturing facilities?
Yes, it's inorganic mercury.
Which means it's poorly absorbed, right?
Well, what happens is you're eating other things that allow for the inorganic mercury to become absorbed. For example, that when we eat a diet high in fructose or high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. then we know through different clinical trial work that it leads to leaky gut.
Oh, okay.
And that means you're going to have breakthrough in your gut. And then the inorganic metals can easily pass through to your bloodstream.
Oh, I see.
So, and we already did a study show, and we published our findings, where if you reduced your processed food intake, then you could have lower inorganic blood mercury levels. So that study's been done. And we also looked at the CDC NHANES database, and we found that the higher your inorganic blood mercury, the higher your fasting glucose. So there's a direct correlation between the inorganic mercury in your blood and the fasting glucose level.
Wow. How much does it go up? Have they charted that?
Well, and there have been no clinical trials. We didn't do a clinical trial. We just analyzed the NHANES data set.
Uh-huh.
But our clinical trial was a small pilot study, and we were looking at the contribution of inorganic mercury from processed foods. And what it and does it show up in your blood? And we found that.
Mm-hmm.
We found that, you know, the more processed foods you eat, the higher your inorganic blood mercury level.
Now, even if they're not,
I'm
sorry. And even if it's not high fructose corn sweetened processed foods, I mean, is it other ingredients other than sweeteners that you would find
this?
Oh,
yeah.
So, give us some other examples.
Okay. So, for example, in the European Union, they have a more open society in terms of providing information to their consumers. So they have an organization that it's a trade organization for all the vegetable oil refiners.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came out with a report. It was a risk assessment, and they determined in which vegetable oils, they looked at a number of them. I have a chart in my book, and it shows what is the risk of mercury contamination in various vegetable oils.
Okay.
And so vegetable oils, the average American consumes 20-something pounds a year of vegetable oil. Well, if you're consuming 20-something pounds per year of vegetable oil, and there's a high risk of inorganic mercury contamination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's one source right there. The average American at one time consumed 60 pounds per year of high fructose corn syrup. That's the average. Some people might have consumed more or less, and now I don't know what the average is, maybe 35, 36, you know, pounds per year per person.
Right.
You know, you go to McDonald's, have a Dr. Pepper. Well, when you look at it from the perspective of, well, that's bad, unhealthy food, but, you know, if you're only consuming 2 pounds per year of broccoli, which is a healthy food, right, or 1 pound per year of nuts, you're consuming more unhealthy food than healthy food,
right,
then that's, you know, you're getting more of the toxic substance in your body that versus the elements that you need to be able to metabolize and excrete those toxic substances. Mercury requires selenium in a 1-to-1 ratio to excrete.
Oh, okay.
And selenium, you know, I mean, that's a, you know, that's, selenium is a trace micronutrient that we all need, and they generally feed animals in cattle, lamb. They feed a selenium supplement to enhance their health,
mm-hmm.
right? And for humans, the best source of selenium is Brazil nut.
That's right.
Most
correct.
People don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, I make sure that I eat plenty of Brazil nuts, not, you know, probably 12 nuts a week is what I would recommend for an adult. And that's helpful to make sure that you're able to excrete your inorganic mercury, because you're going to get it. It's going to, you know, whether you breathe it in. I live on Hawaii. You know, we have a volcano erupting, and you're always going to have some mercury emissions. So.
That's right, yeah. And in fact, for years, just to let you know, Renee, for years I've recommended to my listeners, especially if they're eating ahi or fish that tends to be high in mercury, always eat a few Brazil nuts with it, with that same fish dish, and then that will help to chelate or render the mercury, you know, less harmful to the body.
Help excrete it.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, as far as fish goes, ahi in Hawaii, Marla Berry, Dr. Berry at at the medical school, been over there. I know her well. She's another mercury researcher, and she's been researching mercury in fish.
Oh, okay.
And they have tested the Hawaii fish, the ahi, and they found that in the ahi in Hawaii, there's a 1-to-1 ratio of mercury and selenium in the fish.
Oh, that's
which
good.
That means you're not going to have an overexposure to mercury.
Oh, that's excellent.
From the fish in Hawaii.
That's encouraging news.
There's geographic differences in the mercury in the fish.
Uh-huh. So we'll keep eating our poke and sashimi over here.
But still have your Brazil nuts,
yes,
just to make sure. Right?
Exactly. Dr. Defoe, we need to take a break for the bottom of our station ID, and we'll be back with more information for your good health. My guest, if you're just tuning us in, is Dr. Renee Joy Defoe. She's the author of the new book, Unsafe at Any Meal, What the FDA Does Not Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat. She's a former FDA investigator herself. We're talking about heavy metals as well as other toxins in our food. When we come back, I want to ask you about other sweeteners and then other ingredients, other toxins. We talked about mercury, but what about arsenic and lead and other heavy metals? We'll talk about those as well. Much more information to come, so don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer 4 supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest acting medical strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, well, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzylase, the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's True Flora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. True Flora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking True Flora. See the friendly foursome of master supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Therolac, True Fiber, Enzalaze, and True Flora for the best intestinal health of your life.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Copycats? They're out there. Be strong and healthy. Tune in to the big dog. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine.
Bringing you the next generation of health information. Information. Welcome back to your painless injection of health information. David Snow on your radio. My guest in this hour of the program, Dr. Renee Joy Dufault, the author of Unsafe at Any Meal. Dr. Dufault, how can people get your book if they want to get a copy of it?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com, and that's probably the easiest, fastest way.
I heard they sell babies and cars and houses now on Amazon.com. Is that true? They sell everything else.
You never know. Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
Right. Exactly right. Okay, let's. Before the break, we were talking about mercury and some of the hazards and consequences of too much mercury in our system. Let's get into some of the other well-known and unfortunately all too common minerals or heavy metals in our environment and in our food. Arsenic. Let's talk about arsenic. It's a carcinogen, or it's been shown to cause heart disease and various forms of cancer, and it's often detected in drinking water. And tell us, as a scientist, what you detected both at the FDA and your studies there, as well as in your own research.
Well, I have not done any direct arsenic research other than to identify what food ingredients there are in which there are allowable impurities of arsenic. So there are common food colors that have allowable levels of arsenic. And so one is blue 1, blue 2, yellow 5, yellow 6, and red 40.
Okay, so the blue, when it says blue number 1 or red number 40 on the label as a food coloring, that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. So that there can be up to 3 parts per million arsenic.
Well, that's not much, or is it?
Not a Well, it's all relative, and it might interest you to know that these same food colors, they also have allowable levels of lead, up to 10 parts per million of lead.
Now, why is that? Is it a pigment or a component of the color itself, or what is it, a preservative, or what do they use it for?
No, what happens is these are food colors that are they're manufactured from petroleum-based. They're petroleum-based. So,
isn't that special?
Yeah, it comes from the ground. This happened. These food colors were on the market before the FDA was created, so they were grandfathered in. And so what we end up with, and it might interest you to know that in Europe, if some these food colors are used, there has to be a warning label on the packaging that to for parents, and it'll say may cause hyperactivity in children.
Is that right? In Europe, it's required labeling. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, the label must read may have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children.
Wow.
So, you know, we'd like that here, of course, too, but the various entities, we haven't been able to convince the FDA that we need that.
Now, is there something like Brazil nuts where we can, some kind of food that we can use to chelate it out of our system or detoxify ourselves from having the arsenic that builds up or accumulates?
Well, arsenic is the metal transporter protein that one of the most important ones for arsenic and lead and mercury is called metallothionine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a compound or a molecule that requires zinc.
Oh, okay.
You have to have a zinc-rich diet. And then with respect to lead, you've got to have enough calcium in your diet because calcium and lead, they kind of do a dance. And so...
you mean they compete for absorption? Is that it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So if you don't have enough calcium in your diet, then the lead that's in the diet is going to accumulate in your bones.
Oh.
And it's going to go into your brains and so.
And there's really no safe exposure to lead, is there?
No, there is none, and right. There's no safe exposure to any of these.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And it's inhaled as well as consumed, right? The lead is because that's why they took the now have new regulations for automotive fuels they took the lead out back decades ago, and
right.
paint too.
Yeah.
But don't they still have mercury in paint as a fungicide or a bactericide?
I am not sure because paint is not something I've looked at for mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Awesome. And then what about cadmium? I know cadmium, you know, I always think of it as found in cigarette smoke, the carcinogen in cigarette smoke, but it can cause kidney disease as well as cancer, you know, lung cancer in smokers and other deleterious effects. Tell us what you've learned about cadmium.
Well, cadmium, I investigated that when my sister got breast cancer because she was a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that cadmium is also a common metal that can be leached out of beer cans. So
what? You know, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are some studies showing that. So,
so that as if the alcohol is not already bad enough for
you. You want to do it. You want to drink beer from a bottle, okay?
Okay. Yeah, just get the alcohol carcinogen, not the cadmium carcinogen. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, that's really something. That's eye-opening as well. All right. Now, you mentioned briefly genetics. Let's talk about genetics as well as epigenetics, the control of our environment and lifestyle on the genetics we were born with. How do those come into play when it comes to exposure to toxins, not just pesticides, but other toxins as well?
Well, what epigenetics means, it's just the mechanism by which genes turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And so heavy metals can turn genes on and they can turn them off. And
right.
so you need, and there's also a, for example, a methyl group. A methyl group is a CH3 carbon, one carbon and three hydrogens. It's
mm-hmm.
like a molecule.
Right.
And you need methyl groups to be able to turn the genes on to produce the proteins that you want. And so it turns out there are foods that are high in methyl groups, and I have a chart in table in my book that gives you a listing of those foods.
Give us a few examples of those foods, if you would.
Okay, so leafy green spinach.
Oh, good.
That's one. So Popeye said, eat your spinach.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to.
And he hasn't aged, you know, after all these decades. He still looks as young as he ever did. does Mickey Mouse and Mighty Mouse, but that's another program.
Right.
Anyway, since it's Saturday morning cartoon time here. So leafy greens, and nobody eats enough leafy greens, or greens for that matter.
No.
That's good. What about getting greens in a supplement form? Do you get the same benefits as you would in the fresh salad type of greens?
Well, the most common supplement is spirulina.
Yes, or chlorella. Chlorella. I was also tongue-twisted on that, the different microalgae.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been quite a few studies showing elevated mercury levels in spirulina.
Oh, so is that right? Spirulina has mercury.
Right. Every single book in my every single chapter in my book, there's a list of references. So
okay.
Anywhere from 40 to 60, and
that's
they're
good.
All science based. Mm-hmm. And then I do cite where the studies where spirulina, elevated mercury levels.
And is that pretty universal? It's not particular brands. It's just the way that the product is grown, or is it just the nature of the product itself?
I think it's in that case, it's the nature of the product.
Yeah.
Because it's possible that if you grew it in a farming, they have aquaculture.
Yes, right.
So perhaps in an aquaculture environment. I don't know enough about it, but if I were going to buy it, I would want to know, maybe visit the manufacturing where they make it, the farming operation.
I see. Okay.
And I would actually ask, do you do batch samples to see,
All right. That's a good question.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't buy anything unless I had access to that information. If it's not coming out of the ground, and I look for where is the food coming from, and I try to buy local and organic, and you don't even have any, there's no for sure proof that when it says organic that it's organic, but there are studies that show that if you eat organic, in children, for example, CDC's done some studies showing that children that eat organic have lower pesticide exposure levels. We can only go by what's available.
Right, right. Do the best we can, yeah. In other words, it's not perfection, it's just progress, and you do the best you can.
You've got to limit your risk. You do the best you can to limit your risk.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what is known and go from there.
All right. Dr. Defoe, we need to take a break, one last break of the hour for Dick Allgaier's Health Report. And when we come back, we'll have more information on my guest's book, Unsafe at Any Meal is the title of the book. Dr. Renee Joy Defoe, a former FDA investigator, she reveals how heavy metals and other toxins in our food can endanger the health of you and your family and what you need to know to survive, not only survive, but also thrive. So we'll be back with more information for your good health right after this as Dr. Health continues.
Ticks are known to carry some nasty ailments like Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme disease, but one allergist and associate professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, is warning ticks can spread an allergy to red meat. While vegetarians might think that's a good thing, no joking, this can be deadly. New blood tests have discovered the connection. Air pollution is causing 1 in 7 new cases of diabetes, according to a U.S. study, which found even low levels raised the chances of developing the chronic disease. Now, diabetes has primarily been associated with lifestyle factors like diet and sedentary lifestyle, but this research by the Washington University School of Medicine says pollution also plays a major role. Pollution is thought to reduce the body's insulin production. South Korea officially dropped its maximum work week to 52 hours this week in an effort to improve the quality of life among citizens. Under the law, which slashed the maximum weekly work week to 52 from 68, workers in South Korea will be allowed to work 40 hours and an additional 12 hours of overtime. Those who make their employees work more than 52 hours now face up to 2 years in prison or a fine of up to almost $25,000. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Welcome back to the original social media, Talk Radio. It's the Cure for the Common Radio Show. David Snow with you. Thanks for staying with us and making us a part of your weekend today. And it is a healthy weekend if you're tuned in to our show. And a reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. Just go to, just keep it on the same station you're listening to. No need to turn the dial. And 12 hours from now, or a little less, we'll be there with a double dose of good health information. In this hour of the program, if you're just joining us, Dr. Renee Joy Dufault is the author of Unsafe at Any Meal. We're talking about how you can keep you and your family food safe, as well as... Dr. Dufault, is there much of a hazard in drinking tap water? Or when you were at the FDA, did you do much testing? I know that's a different category or a different agency, but would that be EPA for water safety?
Yeah, EPA is the one that there's the Water Quality Act, and that is for surface water.
Right. And we talked about arsenic in the water. But what about what about other beverages, though? I mean, wouldn't they be under the food classification for FDA, like, you know, coffee and soda and juices and things like that? So
bottled water is regulated by the FDA.
Now, what if it's flavored bottled water, or, you know, the diluted juices, you know, the vitamin waters out of the world? Would that be you, or I mean the FDA or the EPA?
It would be the FDA, and as far as the labeling goes, because they have each container of bottled water has to have a label, and it'll tell you what the nutrients are, and, you know, that's all FDA.
Right.
The quality of the water, in terms of if it's potable and drinkable, then the allowable level of contaminants, that's EPA.
Okay, I see. Now, you know, speaking of labels, let's talk about creative food manufacturing companies that all too often have misleading labels, like, you know, foods that have never been that have never contained gluten are labeled gluten-free. I mean, it reminds me back, I don't know if you remember back in the 70s or the 80s, they had oat brand beer. But things that are portrayed by something, or products that are masquerading as something they're really not. And, there's like candy or beverages that never had gluten to begin with, and they're labeled gluten-free, and yet it's legal. How do they get away with that?
Because the standard to label something gluten-free means that it has to be, it can't contain but a certain amount of gluten. So it can still contain gluten, but only up to a certain level.
Uh-huh.
So anything below that level can be labeled gluten-free, including if it's zero amount of gluten.
I think it's, 20 parts per million is the allowable level of...
I'm not sure. I have it in the book.
Yeah, okay.
It gives you the specifics. But I wanted to mention that at the Food Ingredient and Health Research Institute, which is the nonprofit I started, we have an online healthy diet tutorial that's free. And it goes with the book.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter one, there's a module one of it, of activities, instruction, kitchen cupboard activities, video, and so on. So every chapter in the book has a module of instruction. It's good for a book club. It's good for, any kind of 8-week nutrition course. And then we've actually tested the content, so a lot of the same activities, everything, in 3 different clinical trials. And in every single population, the participants were able to reduce their consumption of highly processed foods and increase their consumption of whole and or organic foods.
Wow.
So it really is helpful, because in order to change behavior, you have to go through, you know, a series of learning opportunities and change your behavior over time, and for it to be permanent. You know, it takes time to do that, to change your habits.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So now, that can be located at www.foodingredient.info. So www.foodingredient.info, and it's up on the right-hand side, upper, where it says Healthy Diet Tutorial. You click on that, and then the menu will come down, Module 1, Module 2, Module 3.
Oh, excellent. And that's free for anybody that wants to go to that website.
Yeah, it's free.
Great. Yeah. Foodingredient.info. Good to know.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about thyroid disease and thyroid function or dysfunction. Dr. Oz has done shows on it. Most of the women's magazines, there's rarely a month that goes by that I don't see on the cover of a major magazine, advertisement or a promotion of an article that is contained in that magazine for, the latest on thyroid and how to activate your thyroid or how to prevent low thyroid function, et cetera. Now, thyroid dysfunction, unfortunately, is linked to pesticide poisoning. Tell us the connection there and what people should know about that.
I wrote about that a little bit in my book, and I can't remember, to be honest with you, what I said on that,
but
I did look at the T3 and the T4, and it's been a while since I've checked.
Right, but there's definitely a connection, and not only to thyroid dysfunction, but also autism and ADHD and ADD. There's connections to pesticide overexposure and those ailments, right?
Right. Well, I could tell you this that in order to metabolize and excrete the pesticides in our food supply, the most prevalent pesticides, then you've got to have this gene working right called the PON1 gene, and it allows for the production of paraoxinase, which is an enzyme that you have to be able to break down these pesticides, organophosphate pesticides like malathion, which is common in wheat.
Right.
And so calcium, not having enough calcium in your diet will impact the function of that gene. And heavy metal exposure, especially mercury, will impact that gene.
Oh.
And so in children with autism, it's interesting to note that boys have lower PON1 gene activity than girls. And we see more. That means that they're not able to combat pesticide exposures as well as girls.
Oh, in other words, they're more sensitive to exposure to the pesticides. Okay.
Yeah, and that means that's why we have more boys than girls with the
really
autism.
Well, that's interesting,
yeah.
Huh?
I actually wrote an article in Scientific American, and it was in October 2017 that addresses that very issue.
Wow!
So you might want to check that out. It's pretty easy.
Now, can people go to your website for more information, such as what you just mentioned, as well as your book info?
Right, and we have a list of publications. The menu's at the top, and there I forget where it is, but if you click at the top, you'll see publications, and then it'll give reference to them.
Now, would that be at the foodingredient.info website?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's where it'll
okay,
be.
That's where everything is. Okay. Now, one of the things I was on one of the pages in your book about the so-called GRAS ingredients, which stands for generally regarded as safe by the government.
Yes, generally recognized as safe.
Recognized as safe, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And allowable heavy metal impurities, the containing... the contaminants that may be contained in them. And caramel, a lot of people think, oh, caramel coloring is harmless, but it's basically burnt sugar, and it's really not good for our health, even though it seems so, it's seemingly so natural in its makeup, right, as far as contained in, innocuous foods, desserts, and usually it's in a processed food because that's one of the additives.
Right.
But people think, oh, it's a caramel coloring or a caramel flavor.
But it's not the caramel that you make from scratch at home.
Right.
Caramel coloring is different.
Okay.
It's a synthetic coloring, and there's up to 3 parts per million arsenic, 10 parts per million lead, and 0.1 parts per million mercury allowed in the caramel food ingredient.
Mm-hmm. So it's even though it's the same name, it's a completely different animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, as far as sugars go, at the outset of our discussion, we talked about high fructose corn syrup. What about some of the other alternatives? If we don't want to go to artificial sweeteners, if people go to raw sugar or molasses, or are there some hazards in some of the more natural or less refined sugars as well?
Well, I go with the less refined, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy organic cane sugar, and I buy pure, 100% pure grade B maple syrup is better than grade A because it's got more of the nutrients in there.
Right.
But grade A or grade B maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, agave syrup,
I heard agave has very high fructose, though, as far as...
It does. Yeah. It does, but it doesn't have... It's in moderation. It's all about moderation, you know, or honey. You know, it's all... It's the individual and what they're... What they think they can do, and whether or not they're diabetic. I mean, you know, there's all different issues to consider.
Yeah, of course. Right, right. Okay. All right. So a takeaway message. We just have a few minutes left in the program. Just a few take home messages. You know, based on the information in your book, for people just to take a like, if you were giving an elevator speech to somebody and saying, "What's your book about? Unsafe at any meal."
Okay, so the book, the main point is that everything you put in your mouth before you're pregnant matters. Your metabolism that you're creating in your body as a woman matters because you're going to pass it on to your kid.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, and every you what you smoke, your entire environment matters. So please don't have children until you clean up your environment, clean up your food supply, because developmental disabilities are on the rise. Autism, ADHD, and if you want to have healthy children, then you need to be a healthy adult.
I like the...
And if you want to have a long lifespan and have a healthy quality of life, so when you're 80 years old, you don't have high blood pressure, diabetes, and all those things, then you have to clean up your diet.
Good advice indeed. Dr. Renee Joy Defoe, can't thank you enough. Come back anytime. Unsafe at Any Meal. Available at Amazon.com and your local bookstores. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
Aloha. Thanks so much for being with us, to all of you in Radio Land. And join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the program. Until then, I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.